Well, it's Terrible Tommy and his country show. Yeah, old-time country, but I think today what we're going to do is run some old-time Western music or some famous Western music. We sort of lump Western music in with country, you know, at least I do. And so this is White Aryan Resistance, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And our big website is resist.com. Now to call our 24-hour, 24/7 phone line, our update line that we give a little talk on every Friday. We put a new message on there. Then you can call 760-723-8996. And after it's all over, you can give your comment, your questions, or whatever. But don't leave your name, address, and those type of personal things on the line for obvious reasons. Now, I bet you a lot of you people recognize that tune. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but let me see what I'll do. I'll tell you what. Somebody sends in the answer to that question. Whoever sends in the answer to that question about what that song is, the title, and what it came out of, and I'm not going to give you any more clues, and I'm going to send you an autographed booklet of one of the booklets I've got laying around here in my stock. How about that? Okay? And now, on with the show!
To the town of Valfrey, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Good old Marty Robbins. Boy, what a singer he was. And I'll tell you what, I was a fan of Marty Robbins for a long, long time. Way back, you know, El Paso. You know, El Paso was the longest record that had been played, popular music, on the radio at that time. Some stations wouldn't even play it. It was so long. And I'm telling you, you know, I do karaoke, and you think that sounds like an easy song to sing? It's not. I tried it a couple of times and fell flat on my face. Marty Robbins was one of the most well-liked people in the music business, country music and Western music. And toward the end of his life, of course, he had open heart surgery, but he didn't last too much longer after that. Well, anyhow, big iron on your hip. You know, I want to tell you something. Nothing stops a knife fight like a big iron on your hip if you got with a big gun like that. You know, those old guns in the old West made people pretty peaceful. There wasn't near as much violence as you think there was, and the way the movies talk about it, because most people didn't have the guts to go up against somebody with a gun. And for sure, there was almost none of that meeting people in the middle of the street with all that Marquess of Queensberry honor and all that. Most guys were shot from ambush, shot in the back, shot while they're in the crapper and all that kind of stuff. They didn't fight fair, and, well, should you fight fair when you're talking about might is right? Probably not. But they used to bring a guy to town to clean up the mess. You know, one group of guys get too greedy and they're robbing the town, and even a lot of your movies, you see that. And so they get a hired gun to come in. He's supposed to be a pretty nice guy, or at least sort of a gray area type of guy. And he cleans up the town, and then they don't want nothing to do with him. Now, isn't that like the public is today? You know, all the time in the town I live in, people come up to me all the time and say, "Oh, I like what you're doing, and I agree with you," and la, 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 on and on. Happens every day. But as far as getting involved, getting their hands dirty, or even coming up with a few bucks, ain't going to happen. But you just got to understand them, like Albert J. Nock, the poet, used to say. He said, "Well, you know, the cow gets in your garden. You don't hate the cow, but you got to get the cow out of your garden. So you have to go out there and whoop that cow upside the head, get him out of your garden." There's no hatred involved. So anyhow, that's the way I feel about the public. They're going to have to get hit upside the head by the opposition, by the immigration, by the invasion, by the Al-Qaeda, whoever it is. They need to get their ass whipped around so then they'll listen to a few of us that have been trying to pound sense into their head. But it sure seemed a lot easier back in the days of the big iron on the hip type thing. And the old Western, you know, back in the old days when almost everybody wore a gun into a tavern, saloon, why, they didn't have hardly any trouble. If you went into a bar today and saw everybody sitting around with a gun on their hip, do you really think, unless you're suicidal, you'd start trouble, especially if you didn't know who they all were, because they're all probably friends of each other. And if you're a stranger coming in there, they're going to stand up like in a cheap Hollywood movie. You're going to have about 50 guns pointing at you, man. Well, let's hear some more stuff here.
Paladin, paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. Have gun, will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called.
where do you roam? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. He travels on to wherever he must. A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the plainsmen spin of the man with the gun, of the man called Paladin. Paladin, paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. Far from home, far from home.
Well, I bet a lot of you don't recognize that song. You might have recognized, if you've been around a while, you might recognize that TV series that, way back in the 60s and 70s, as far as I can recall. And that was Paladin, and he was sort of like the private eye of the Old West, or a hired gunslinger, a soldier of fortune. I sort of like that ring. And as I recall, that was Richard Boone. Yeah, and of course, I think Richard Boone was a little bit Semitic, but he did a pretty good job on that show, Paladin. And I used to tune that in quite a bit. And remember, Richard Boone played Sam Houston in the John Wayne epic, The Alamo. As far as I'm concerned, that's the best version of The Alamo I've seen. You know, if you were a sheriff back then, you didn't make hardly any money, and a deputy even made less. U.S. Marshal didn't make that much either, but hired guns, they like Paladin, I think, hung out in San Francisco and was a fancy Dan gentleman with a fine suit and silk tie and all that stuff. And people would come up there and give him a contract to do a job, and they'd pay him hundreds of dollars at least, maybe thousands. That makes sense to me.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me on the long prairie, take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes, and you'll stand out in buttons and bows. I love you in buckskin, our skirts that you've homespun, but I love you longer, stronger, friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's farmers where the gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows, and you're all mine in buttons and bows. Buckskin, our skirts that you homespun, but I love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose where the gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows, and you're all mine in buttons and bows. Give me Eastern trimming where women are women in high silk hose and peekaboo clothes and French perfume that rocks the room, and you're all mine in buttons and bows. Buttons and bows. Buttons and bows. Buttons and bows.
Well, if Dr. Kallenberg was here today, he'd say, oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. Well, you know who that was? That was old Gene Artery. Man, I'll tell you, if you're as old as I am, when I was a little kid, used to, Saturday afternoon, we'd go to the movies, and it'd be a double feature, usually a Western, and a couple of Westerns, and then a whole bunch, 9 or 10 cartoons. And I used to get real upset when they played Gene Autry or Roy Rogers. Gene Autry, to me, was not a real cowboy. Even in this song, you hear him, he likes the women from back east with all their frills and perfume and stuff. He used to sit up on that horse of his, Champion, and play a guitar. Well, I never saw a man, I never saw a cowboy in my life sit on a horse and play a guitar. And old Gene, who I'm pretty sure is a little, if I recall, a little Semitic himself. He used to be a little bit overweight. Yeah, he had a paunch on him, and he'd get in these fights, and he'd win all the time against these real tough guys, you know, hardcore, that in real life would have beat the hell out of him. So, and he was always so good. He was just goody two-shoes, and maybe that's what turned me off about him and Roy Rogers. They never were in the gray area about anything. They were always just absolutely, you know, just like the people thinking, even though it's not true at all. So, I mean, my favorites were Whip Wilson, and my favorites were Lash LaRue, and my favorites were the Durango Kid, and even Zorro, and people like that's the kind of guys I like, man. So we'll just go on past this Gene Autry stuff, and we'll leave that for the doctor.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water.
Cool water.
Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
Water.
Cool
water.
Clear
water.
Water.
Keep
on moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you? The nights are cool and I'm a pool. Each star's a pool of water.
Cool water.
But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and care.
Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water. And way up there he'll hear our prayer and show us where there's water.
Cool
water.
Clear
water.
Keep on moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Then can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
Dan's feet are sore, he's yearning for just one thing more than water.
Cool water.
Like me, I guess he'd like to rest where there's no quest for water.
Cool.
Well, there's an old favorite from the Sons of the Pioneers, and not too many young people know about the Sons of the Pioneers, but they've made some great music, and I think some of them are still around singing some of this kind of music. And if you've ever been caught on a desert, your car breaks down or something like that, you'll know exactly what these fellows are singing about, because you can get very screwed up very fast. So since the upcoming and the ongoing and the about to begin internal struggle in this country, as we come closer and closer to it, you're going to probably, some of us, have to be hiding out in the desert or working out of the desert or something like that. But I'll tell you, remember the old days when the cars come down Route 66? Yeah, that was back before the freeway. It's the way I came to California. Remember, they had those water bags on the front. You tie this big old canvas bag full of water on the front of your car on the bumper, and that would, the air passing through would keep it cool, and that was your drinking water. That was back before we had air conditioning in the cars. But if you're going to be out in the desert, I recommend you have a piece of plastic with you, and not a giant piece and not a little dinky piece, but a piece of plastic. And if you ever get in a bad situation, get lost, you can dig a little hole in the ground in the sand and stake out that plastic, put a little stone in the bottom, and overnight you can get some evaporation there and get some water, at least a little bit of water. But don't try to travel in the desert in the daytime. If you're stuck out in the desert someplace, you travel at night. Stay out of that sun, because that'll dehydrate you so fast. And there's a lot more I could say on this subject, but we don't have time. But the desert can be very, very unforgiving, because the All-Father's sun is at its best in the desert. And if you look around a little bit, you can find the Sons of the Pioneers. They even got it on CDs nowadays, so it's not that hard to find. But even some of the garage sales, you may find some old 33s with the Sons of the Pioneers. Great stuff.
One morning for pleasure, I saw a cowpuncher riding along. His hat was pushed back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he rode by, he was singing this song. Whoop-ee-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-ee-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up the dogies, we catch 'em, we brand 'em, and bob off their tails. Catch out the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the long trail. Whoop-ee-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-ee-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
Well, I think that was Burl Ives. I'm not sure because this CD doesn't have the titles on it, but it sure sounded like a younger Burl Ives. And Burl Ives was a good singer. Did a lot of great folk songs. So. But just think of these guys these cowboys that rustled those cattle. No, I shouldn't say rustle. drove those cattle for hundreds of miles up the Chisholm Trail and all those trails in the West that drove those cattle up to the railheads and so forth. And what a tough bunch of guys they must have been. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how hard and tough those guys ride in the saddle day and night, sleeping on the ground, eating crappy food, and maybe fighting Indians or whatever along the way, and maybe rustlers that are trying to steal their cattle. Just imagine how tough those guys were. There's hardly any of them left anymore. There's a few, but not very many. Just imagine what it was like when they got into the rail town. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how they felt when they were about 10 miles out? Oh, boy. And you know when they hit that town, you know the first place they're going to go, don't you? It's the saloon. And wash down that dust with a little whiskey, a little beer, and have a little fun with the dance hall girls. And guess where the second place they're going? It ain't the church, I'll tell you that. The second place they'd be going is the House of Ill Repute, because those boys have been on a trail a long time, and they were hungry, and they were tired, but now they'd had a couple of drinks, and maybe they had a chance to all have a bath, one of those deals where you give a dime or 25 cents to take a bath, and usually you got to use the bath water that five other people have used and all that, and they spray some of that old cologne on that powder, and boy, they're off to find a woman. Wow, I'll bet that was some kind of party.
While Cat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side, and when that sheriff said, "I'm sending you to jail," Wildcat raised his head and cried, "Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in." In the evening breeze, listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Well, just think of that, back when the west was opening up, and remember the Oklahoma rush for the land rush in Oklahoma when they opened up the Cherokee Strip. Yeah, man, that was back in the... See, the reason we haven't had... surprising in a way, we had the Civil War because there was so much room out here in the West to move west. And that's what's kept a lid on for a long time, as far as I can see. The white man always had room to go west. Go west, young man, go west. Well, now we've gone all the way. There's no farther we can go unless we turn around and go back the other way. So things are going to get a little tricky now that the population's soaring and you don't have all this open range. And a lot of people say, well, there's all kinds of open land around here. Well, of course there's open land out there, but you can't grow anything on it. You can't get water on it. And come on. So you're stuck with the areas where there is some agriculture and there's water and things like that. And so the coastal cities and the coasts, they fill up more and more and more with people. And people do try to go farther and farther out, but there's only so far you can go out unless you want to drink your water out of a 50-gallon drum and live like that. And, of course, it could come to that place. But, you know, white man, he likes plenty of room to move around. And I think he gets very claustrophobic in the big city. Even though the big city has some good points, too, that claustrophobia, that would get to me, I think. So anyhow, let's go on and listen to some more of this Terrible Tommy's Western show more today than old-time country, and I hope you're enjoying it. And remember, this is for rest and relaxation for hard-working white racial separatists. Yeah, well, you don't hear me advertising much on here at all, and we're just having a good time because this show is for our boys and girls to have rest and relaxation and not be always uptight and worried and not working all the time, because that makes Tommy Racist a dull boy if he works 24/7. I know some guys in the racial struggle that think they have to work 24 hours a day, but really they don't get as much accomplished as they think they do, because you just got to have some time off and you got to take care of your family and you got to take care of your kids. So this is our rest and relaxation period.
Give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
again. Guess who that was? That was Dr. Cullenberg's favorite guy there, Gene Hartery again. But I did like that song. That was one of the best. That's an old standard. And that prairie must have been a pretty peaceful place if you were out there in the middle of nowhere in that grassland and standing around there. It must have been so quiet it would hurt your ears.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, plowing through the ragged sky, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire, and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny, and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo! Their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. All the horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Riders floated on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways, they are with us, you will ride. Trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yo!
There's our old buddy Johnny Cash, and that is a real standard, a really well-liked standard. And, you know, it's quite interesting to compare that song to the mythology of Odinism and Thor and Woden and all those people, or all those mythological gods are running around the sky and everything. And here are the cowboys, because that's about the only thing they had to relate to, was this herd of cattle and the storms and all that kind of stuff. Relating to that in song. So it's an interesting comparison. What do you think about that?
I came to town to search for gold,
and I brought with me a memory. And I seem to hear the night wind cry, go hang your dreams on the hanging tree, your dreams of love that could never be.
Never be.
Hang your faded dreams on the hanging tree.
The hanging tree.
I searched for gold and I found my gold. And I found a girl who loved just me. And I wish that I could love her too. But I'd left my heart on the hanging tree. I left my heart with the memory.
Memory.
And a faded dream on the hanging tree.
Hanging tree.
Now there were men who craved my gold and meant to take my gold from me. When a man is gone, he needs no gold. So they carried me to the hanging tree to join my dreams and a memory.
Memory.
Yes, they carried me to the hanging tree.
The hanging tree.
To really live, you must almost die. And it happened just that way with me. They took the gold and set me free. And I walked away from the hanging tree. I walked away from the hanging tree. And my own true love, she walked with me. That's when I knew that the hanging tree was a tree of life, new life for me. A tree of hope, new hope for me. A tree of love, new love for me. The hanging tree,
the hanging tree,
the hanging tree.
Well, that one reminds me of all those gunfighters back in the Old West. And you know, they've done a history of all of those gunfighters in the Old West, almost all of them, were blonde hair, blue-eyed. They didn't all have blonde hair, but they all had blue eyes. Does that tell you something? Yeah, I think there was, the only one that I know out here in California was that wasn't a blue-eyed guy was an Indian called Joaquin Murrieta. In fact, there's a town named after him, not too far from here. The Mexican army killed and raped his wife back in the 1800s, and he went on the rampage. And boy, I'll tell you, he cut a swath around California there. They cut off his head and they put it in a jar and exhibited it around at different carnivals and so forth. But even though he wasn't a white man, I got to respect him. When they do that stuff to your family, you got to do something about it. Yes, sirree. And he did something about it. But almost, and just think of how the law was back then. If you were a stranger coming into town and something bad happened, somebody got killed, you had the same caliber weapon or on you and like that, well, you're just likely to be set up or falsely accused. And while some local or maybe some rich man's kid or something there got away with it. So it was pretty precarious traveling from town to town in the Old West back in those days. Of course, you know, all the Western logging camps were set up with vigilante law. In fact, if you'll go into the law library in Los Angeles, California, you'll see a whole row of books on vigilante law that was out of the old logging camps and so forth, and even in San Francisco, right downtown, they used vigilante law once in a while as a actual respected part of the law. So if you ever get up there into the law library, you can look up that vigilante law. But I'm telling you, a lot of innocent guys got hung, but on the other hand, a lot of guilty guys got away.
Thank you.
Well, how many of you recognize that song? Yeah, that was from the Spaghetti Westerns with Clint Eastwood. And that was a new era of Western movies that came out in the 60s and the 70s that were really good, I thought. They called them Spaghetti Westerns, but a lot of those were very cold, calculating, realistic, I thought. One of my great favorites is Once Upon a Time. I think that's the best Western film ever made, with Henry Fonda and Jason Robards Jr. and Bronson, all the boys, you know. And then there's another one that Clint Eastwood actually directed, I believe, Outlaw Josie Wales. And that was one of the better Westerns ever made, too, because it combined the West and the Civil War all together. There's some very, very, very good information in that movie. So get that movie, Once Upon a Time in the West, or get that one with Outlaw Josie Wales. Have a double feature, open up a beer, have a little popcorn, and have some relaxation there, old white separatist. That Once Upon a Time in the West reminds me, way back when that came out, and that's a long film, I was doing interviews for a documentary that was made here in California by some big film company, and that was way back when I was running the Klan in California, and the film crew, we talked about movies sometimes, and I said, well, I think Once Upon a Time in the West will take its place as one of the best Western films ever made, and they looked at me sort of askance, and years later, I ran into one of those guys. He said, hey, you were right. That film is really good, and it really holds water. Yes, sirree, it does. Now, if you haven't seen any of those Spaghetti Westerns with Clint Eastwood, you ought to pick them up, you know, with the on DVD now, because they're much clearer, and you see a lot more of actual viewing when you see it. They're widescreen, and I picked up, I think it was The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, or one of those, and hell, it was like watching a new movie all over again. I had more fun watching it this time than I did in the beginning, man.
Shenandoah, you're doomed to wander on beyond this land so lonely. Oh, Shenandoah, you're doomed to wander, to roam in search of home, cross this land so lonely. In riding hard since dawn the breaking, cross this barren land so lonely. Perhaps today I'll end my roaming. My name I'll learn, my name, for the day aglow. That day was buried deep within this land so lonely. Oh, Shenandoah, you're doomed to wander. Search of home, cross this land so lonely.
What a fantastic song that is, Shenandoah. I can just see old Jeb Stuart and the boys riding up and down that Shenandoah Valley in the Civil War. Boy, they just cut the hell out of the Union forces, I'll tell you that. And that song reminds me of a great film you ought to dig out sometime, and I believe it's called Shenandoah. And I believe Jimmy Stewart is a father, and he has about four sons, and I think two of them went south and two of them went north in the Civil War. And he was, I believe, living in a border state like Tennessee or someplace like that. But it's the great, horrible struggle of the Civil War as it affected this family. And, of course, I think one day we're going to see another Civil War in this country, and you know what it's going to do. It's going to split families just like it did before, white families. You're going to have one a liberal and one a racist and one a neoconservative, and they'll probably go different ways in the whole bit, but that's the way the ball bounces. But pick that film up. You can get it at your local video place. And I believe it's Shenandoah, but I know Jimmy Stewart was the father in the film, and it's a tremendous film about the struggle of the Civil War.
A restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander, and I was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, I spent my younger days, and I guess the sound of the outward bound made me a slave to my wandering ways. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander, and I was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. Oh, I met a girl in a border town, about we'd never part. Though I tried my best to settle down, she's now alone with a broken heart. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. Next of kin to the wayward wind.
The next of kin
to the wayward wind. The wayward wind.
Well, our tribute to Western songs of the movies and so on is coming to an end. You never know what you're going to hear on here, but you ain't going to hear much of that New York music on here, I'll tell you that. Since Nashville got sort of screwed up, I think, and they just don't play much good country music anymore. But anyhow, there's some good Western music, and we've been happy to be with you, and I'd like for you to send us a card or a letter and say, do you like this rest and relaxation that Tommy has dreamed up? Old Terrible Tommy's old-time country Western shows, and if you do, that's fine. Let me know, and I'll be back here in a short while with another. In the meantime, write us at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. That's Fallbrook, California, 92088, and that's P.O. Box 65. That's all you need. And boy, we're going to be digging around the old vaults here for the next show. So we'll see you later.
My sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. I awoke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head and cried.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Shattered all my dreams.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.